Hi, Brian. It's Cathal Kelly from the Toronto Star. We've just come off a long conference call with Tim Leiwicki, in which he characterized your reaction to this change in position as being kicked at him, and then spent a lot of it seeming to suggest that you would have very limited say or no say in basketball operations. I'm just wondering, why did you agree to this job?
Well, Cathal, good morning, and good morning to everybody else on the line. Well, first of all, let me say that I don't want to disagree with Tim. I'm not ticked off. I think I'm more than anything, I'm just a little disappointed, and I'm disappointed that I'm not going to be able to see this thing through with respect to, you know, final decision making. I will tell you that I'm thrilled and excited to be part of this thing in terms of putting the finishing touches on a team I think that's well on its way to being competitive, being a playoff team, and ultimately striving for our goal of winning championships. So I would tell you, Cathal, that, you know, ticked off is not the right terminology. That's not to disagree with my new boss, but that's just simply to say, you know, perhaps a mischaracterization. As far as not being involved at all, you know, this is, I don't believe, a position that I'm being pushed off into a corner somewhere. I think I am going to be utilized in a way and in a fashion that my 18 years of experience and quite a bit of success along the way is going to be tapped into, not only by Tim, but by the new GM, whoever that new GM is. And I think that this is, more than anything, an acknowledgement that I do care very much about the Toronto Raptors, the success of this organization. I've been loyal to Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. I have been a good partner in the community of Toronto. I would plan on continuing to do so, staying there. I'm very thrilled to be back in Toronto for those reasons. And I would say to you that this is a job, this is an experience that is just another chapter in my life of being a career basketball man. And being in basketball, there's many different facets. You know, there's the process of you know, constructing teams, but there's also the process of constructing businesses around those teams. I think the two are very much integrated. And again, I've got experience on both sides of the ledger, which is probably an asset to this organization. And I think that this is an acknowledgement of that asset being retained. With respect to why I would do it, I care a lot about what we're doing here, and I did want to stay in Toronto. I do care about the players that we've brought in. I care about the people that work for the organization. And, you know, not to just completely walk away from the situation, I am happy and thrilled to be part of it.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you. The following question is from Joseph Cascario. TheScore.com. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Brian, I just wanted to know if a job with, say, more autonomy and more hands-on on the basketball side were to open up in another organization, would that interest you at all, or are you sticking with Toronto now for the long haul?
Joe, I'm committed to Toronto and what's happening, but, you know, I'd never want to say no to a situation. I think, you know, Tim has afforded me the opportunity to, you know, say yes to an opportunity. I've got an NBA out, basically, if the right one comes along. It wouldn't be easy for me to walk into just any situation. Very few NBA jobs would excite me, but I think there are, you know, quite a few of them out there that would be exciting and thrilling, and it all depends, obviously, on what that role and responsibility would be there. But again, my focus and commitment is to the Toronto Raptors and again, hopefully helping put the finishing touches on a successful run here. With respect to what we're doing and how the process has been characterized, I certainly don't view this as a failure in any stretch. I think what we've done here is, you know, 3 years ago, hit the reset button when Chris Bosh left, and this is the culmination of 3 years of rebuilding, and, you know, that's not an easy process. The results are obviously what they are. There's been steady growth, but perhaps that growth wasn't quick enough, and that's probably why a change is being made. But at the same time, I think we have taken some significant strides. I think we've taken some substantial steps forward, and I think we're poised for success, and I want to be part of it. So I am committed to that process. I'm also committed to the notion of helping and facilitating where needed, but I certainly won't get in the way of a new general manager with the decision-making authority that he's going to be given.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you. The following question is from Michael Grange of Sportsnet. Please go ahead.
Hey, Brian. Thanks. Brian, how do you envision that first conversation if you're in the room and somebody says, I think we need to move to Mar, or we need to amnesty Landry Fields, or whatever. Like, your touch is all over this roster, for better and worse. And how difficult will it be for you to accept somebody making the judgment that they want to go in a different direction?
Well, first, let me say, Michael, sorry I have not responded to any of your texts or emails, and I will say that to the blanket group. Apologize, I've been under the radar here for a few days. But with respect to that topic, whatever the basketball topic is, hopefully, my opinion will be, I will be asked my opinion. I will give my opinion. I've never been shy to give an opinion. I've never been shy to make a decision, but that decision will now rest on somebody else. And, how much weight in the room that opinion will have is really going to depend on who the individual is. But by way of example, if they ask me, what about amnesty used on Landry Fields, I would tell them that's not possible, because the rule would state that it would have to be a contract that would be in place at the time of the new CBA. So, again, just a little experience, some anecdotes, whatever I can add to the process, I'll give. I'll give a historical perspective. I'll give a future perspective. I feel like I'm very much in tune with the game and the trends in the game and where things are, but I also have a historical perspective as well. And, I've been known as a guy that zigs when everyone else is zagging, and I'm not sure that's going to change as far as my opinion goes. But I will be in a position, hopefully, to give that opportunity to whoever wants to hear it.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you. The following question is from Doug Smith of the Toronto Star. Please go ahead.
Hey, Brett. Hey, Brian. Yeah, and we're sorry for texting and phoning you every hour. Tim talked a lot about growing the brand nationwide and the business opportunities. Being so intimately involved in the basketball on the court side of it, does that intrigue you at all, or how do you see transition into that?
Yeah, and I would also say that we've been doing that. We've been doing our part, hopefully, to some extent over the last several years that I've been involved. We are Canada's team. We've talked about that a lot over the last 7 years. We've gone as far as putting the maple leaf on the back of the jersey. We've gone as far as taking training camp to various markets: Vancouver, Kitchener, Waterloo, Ottawa, Halifax, etc. We've also taken our game through exhibition games to many markets. We've sold out Vancouver, Edmonton, Montreal. In fact, we have not played an exhibition game where we didn't sell out. So I feel very good about what we've done. But can we do more? Yes, certainly. I think the scope of the agreement between Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment and the NBA has always been one that has, I believe, needed a little bit more evaluation. Maybe just even the basis and structure of the deal needs to be revamped. What role we have and what role the NBA Canada office has in the process. And I think that's all something that I haven't had a lot of time to focus on in the past, but I will certainly have more time to focus on that now. With respect to grassroots efforts and all those things, it's interesting, but I'm also on the board of Canada Basketball, and that's something we talk about all the time, and I do think there are great synergies to exploit between the two. The growth of the game in Canada has happened to take on astronomic leaps, if you will, with the advent of the Raptors brand several years ago and the franchise, the birth of the franchise several years ago. And it's just now starting to come into focus that a lot of interest and awareness and people watching the game of basketball has spurred more participation, more awareness, and now you're starting to see the fruits of that with the actual talent, not only at the men's level, but at the women's level as well. And I think the growth of the game has, you know, just extreme potential. It's something I've already been engaged in. I'm interested in it, and that is certainly something that I will continue to address, in fact, now with more more focus. But as far as, you know, those other things that need to happen, you know, the practice facility and other things that have been talked about, you know, we've been exploring that for years. Once again, I didn't really have time to focus on that. I would think I was more tuned in to trying to make this basketball team better. And I think if there's now a renewed commitment to move forward and put the best things in place, amenities in place in this recruiting battle that we engage in, I'm pretty good at looking at opportunities, and you know, I'm pretty good at projects. And if that happens to be one of the projects that I embrace, I'm going to go at it with all my effort and make it the best damn practice facility in the league. It's going to cost some money, but it'll be the best, I promise you.
And one follow-up, if I may, the selection process for your predecessor should take the next couple of weeks, probably. What advice would you give him?
You know, obviously, I'm very excited, and I'm pro-Toronto all the way, and I always have been. I've been singing Toronto's praises since the day I walked into the city in March of 06, and you know, I'm fully ingrained, and I think that everybody should be fully ingrained. You know, this is my home. And again, I think there are wonderful attributes that need to be exploited and talked about. I think a lot of them have already been talked about, and I do agree with Tim that there are multiple agents, multiple media members, multiple players in this league that view Toronto as one of the best cities on the road that they come to. You know, it's always been my goal to make it the best place, not just on the road, but for them to reside and, you know, play for. And there is a sense of pride, not just for the city of Toronto, but for the country of Canada. And I want to make sure that everybody understands that. So my advice to the new guy would be, you know, focus on the basketball team. Let's focus on, you know, the attributes that this market has. I'm here to enhance that now and put some focus to it. And I'll do what I can to make the new GM's job easier.
Thank you.
Thank you. The following question is from Curtis Withers of the Canadian Press. Please go ahead.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for doing this. Throughout the process was characterized oftentimes, perhaps fairly, perhaps unfairly, that you were kind of left hanging, left twisting in the wind a little bit while MLSC made its decision. How would you characterize the process to get to the point where we are today?
Well, I think the best way to say it is it's a process. And, you know, there's been a new board in place now for just maybe under or over a year. I've lost sense of timing on that. A new CEO was brought in late in the process here, and obviously there was an agreement at some point during the year with the board that we would sit down and talk about the future at the end of the season. The end of the season was just, you know, about a month ago, if I'm not mistaken, on April 17th, and you know, I think that the twist, if anything, was that Tim came in and wanted to do some homework and some, you know, put some due diligence to the test, and I think he's now taken that opportunity and that time to do that. I can't fault him for that at all, and I can't fault the board for waiting on his direction. With respect to, you know, the ongoing process, even in the last week, I mean, that took some debate and discussion, and, you know, that's now culminating with this announcement today. But I think there was an original date in my contract of May 1st where they were to tell me whether or not my option was being picked up. At some point when it became apparent that that was not the best timing for anybody. We extended that to the 20th, and so here we are, and an announcement's being made, and you know, I'm still with the organization. So again, process takes time. These are big decisions, and you know, you can't fault Tim or the board for taking their time to make a big decision.
Thank you.
Thank you. The following question is from Steve Simmons of Toronto Sun. Please go ahead.
Hi, Brian. If you were a young guy on the way up looking for a GM's job, would you want to take a job where the former general manager is sitting perhaps in the next office?
Well, obviously it depends on who you're talking about. You know, Steve, I know me better than you know me. And I know what I'm capable of, and I know that when I'm involved in something, I'm going to put everything I have into it. And if, you know, there are parameters to that, I'll stick within the parameters. But at the same time, I think if it depends on, you know, who the new candidate is and varying degrees of experience that's coming in. If I'm a young guy and I know that the older general manager is there, or you know, the guy's there, I would really like to lean on him. Plus, I've got a lot of relationships in this business, and I probably know all the candidates, and I know that you know, some of them I would be able to work with in a glowing fashion. But you know, that all depends on who and what that individual is made up of. I could see someone coming in and saying, hey, this has got to be all me, get everybody else out. This is, you know, this is the way it's got to be. But, you know, the league is, it's a small league, and there's a lot of relationship-based work. And you know, Steve, the bottom line is, if I get in the way, I'm not going to be around. You know, this will last as long as the board and Tim deem it to be, you know, successful and working well. If not, I'll be on the road and be looking for another position. But at the end of the day, I really do think it all is how it's spelled out to the new guy, whoever that new guy is. He's got to feel comfortable with it. I'm sure that there's absolutely a way that Tim, I mean, Tim could not more clearly define that the individual coming in is going to have final authority and final say. So I don't really see where there's an anticipated conflict. You know, the conflict is going to, you know, be non-existent. I'll give opinion where and when I'm asked about opinion. Again, you know, it's being portrayed as this is a non-basketball job. We're in the basketball business, and I've got a lot of experience, and I think that, you know, the new guy's going to help, you know, or understand that and appreciate that, and I'll give my opinion. I'm certainly not going to try to run them over, because at the end of the day, that's not going to get me very far. And you also have to know who you are, and if there's a role and you're going to design it a certain way and you're going to carry it out a certain way, you should know me, Steve, that you know, I'm a man of integrity, I'm a man of honor, and I think I'm well-respected in the league for those reasons. And, you know, with, I think the new guy will appreciate the fact that I'm there and I'm in his corner.
Thank you. The following question is from Zach Lynx of Hoop Swimmers. Please go ahead.
Hey, Brian. You mentioned that you have an out clause of sorts if a GM job opens up or something like that, but were you at all reluctant to transition to a job that focuses a little more on the business side of things?
Well, again, yes and no. I mean, obviously there's disappointment in the process, but, you know, through the discussion with Tim, you know, it became clear that the role would be more than just focusing on business, and I'll be there to help and guide if I'm asked to help and guide. But at the same time, you know, I'm very comfortable knowing that I put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into the makeup of this team. The team is poised. I'm anxious to you know, see the finishing touches put on it. And if I'm part of that process, even better. But, you know, I'm going to enjoy watching some of these young men grow and develop into the NBA players that they're capable of, and this team turning into a playoff contender and hopefully a championship contender going forward. There's some great young pieces to be excited about, and you know, we are moving in the right direction. So I'm comfortable with what I've done. I'm comfortable with the decision that's been made. What may have taken some time to get comfortable with, I've now gotten my arms around it, and I feel very good going forward.
Thank you. And one quick follow-up, if you wouldn't mind. They made the decision to bring in an outside firm to kind of find the next candidate. It's a move that some teams have made, but not every team goes in that direction. What were your thoughts on that?
I have no problem with it. Obviously, you know, Tim made that call, and I think you'd just have to ask him what the process was that led to that decision. You know, I'm certainly, you know, helpful in the process of, you know, kind of vetting some of the candidates, talking about some of the people that are involved. I went through a internal search just a couple of years ago when I brought Ed Stefanski in, so I've got a lot of information and a lot of knowledge, a lot of background that's been done. So I will be part of the process, and if they need me, I'll give my input and opinion there. With regard to whether or not a search firm's involved, you know, every company does things differently, and again, Tim would be the final answer on that.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. The following question is from Ryan Wolfstadt of Toronto Sun. Please go ahead.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Good.
It's probably not a stretch to say that this change wouldn't have been made now if Andrea Bargnani maybe had sort of harnessed his abilities a little sooner or in general. Would you have done anything different looking back on the handling him? Is there a sense of frustration about how a guy that talented sort of that could have been such a big piece hasn't really been able to do it?
Well, I think a better way to portray it is harnessing his talent more often. We know he's got it, and we've seen how he's capable of you know, playing at a certain level. I would only tell you that you know, it's something that, you know, you look back on and you say, how would you handle it differently? I'm not sure I would, Ryan. I know there's been a lot of, you know, maybe I could have said I would have traded him before he got hurt. You know, so the trade value didn't go down, or, you know, there was an opportunity to do something before the trade deadline. But I can't control the injury aspect of things. And this last year he had two distinct injuries to his elbow, unrelated, that, you know, really put a crimp on timing in both at the early part of the season and in the latter part of the season near the trade deadline. I still would say that there's value in Andrea. You know, as a player, I get the fact that a change of scenery is probably the best thing for all sides. I've publicly acknowledged that. But again, you know, the new guy is going to have to decide how to handle it, and there are a few options to determine. You could obviously move down different paths with Andrea right now. And I'm not here to run a bus over anybody. I'm here to, you know, say let's move forward and let's do what's right for this basketball team, and the new guy's going to make that call.
Thanks.
Thank you. The following question is from Frank Zuccarelli. Please go ahead.
Hey, Brian, any good luck transfer tonight?
You know, Zick, everyone's got their own little things. I won it a few years ago without any good luck charm. I think I might have been the only guy up there that walked out with nothing, you know, in terms of a good luck charm, because those people all found bad luck in whatever they had. But I'm just going and representing the company, and I'm happy to do it. And you know, it's not a great place to be at the lottery, and hopefully this is the last time this team is there for a long time. But you know, again, with regard to whether or not we move up to 1, 2, or 3, there are slight odds to get there. I think it would be, you know, you could look at both the pros and cons of moving up, and you could look at the pros and cons of not having a pick in this year's draft. But I would say that again, this is it's something that I think is the right thing to do, and I've been planning to go all along. was scheduled to be here in New York over the weekend for this very purpose, so it's all been scheduled accordingly. I don't think it's anything out of the ordinary for a team president to be sitting up there representing their team, and I don't think Tim or anybody else should be criticized for the decision.
Hey Brian, how ready do you think Ed Stefanski is to succeed you if the team does go in that direction?
Well, again, not talking about any specific candidates, and I know Ed will be a candidate. I hired Ed for a reason. I think he's a very good basketball person. I think he's got very good relationships in the business. Zick, one of the reasons that I set out to hire someone like Ed was because, the board wanted me to have a nice succession plan in place. I think there is a nice succession plan in place, and it's going to be up to Tim and the board to determine whether or not Ed's the right guy for the job. Maybe they want a new look. Maybe they want a fresh perspective. That probably will be the determining factor. But there's no doubt that Ed is a solid basketball man. He knows what he's doing. He's got very distinct opinions, and he's a relationship guy. There's a lot of he's done very well at integrating himself into our organization, and I'd be happy for him to get a fresh look, or excuse me, a legitimate look at the job. And it sounds like he's going to, and we'll see how that plays out.
And lastly, Brian, have you gotten any feedback today from your peers or current players? Any kind of reaction from today's
news? Yeah, I mean, what you learn in this process, Zick, is that you've got a lot of friends in the business. That's definitely something that I've learned. I've had some people poaching on my job already directly to me. Hey, can you put a word in for me? That kind of thing. I've had agents calling me and saying, what do you think about this guy coming in? It's a unique situation for me to be in. Not an ideal situation, but, like I said earlier, I'm going to embrace it and make the most of it.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The following question is from Steve Simmons of the Toronto Sun. Please go ahead.
Brian, if you win a coin flip about a year ago this time, are we even having this conversation today?
I don't know, Steve. Again, that's an unknown. The one thing that we always talk about with respect to the team, we really like what we got in the draft last year. Terrence Ross, I think, is a great asset for this team going forward. But he didn't address a specific box that we had open last year. I think you could look at point guard and the small forward spot as two boxes that were open that would have addressed a very specific need. And with one less win, we would have been in the position not only to draft at 7, but we would have also been in a coin toss for 6. And, it's widely known that we had two guys targeted above that fit two boxes. One was Damian Lillard and one was Harrison Barnes. It probably would have dictated a different course of action had we filled one of those boxes as opposed to follow the principle of stacking talent. Stacking talent obviously is when you have somebody, DeMar DeRozan, in a spot, but you take the best available player that we thought at the time would be the right piece for us, and we still do. We basically take that player who's got the most upside, who's got the best level of talent, who fits what we're trying to do as an organization. But would it have changed the outcome of the season? I have no idea. Nobody knows. And that we'll have to just look back and say, what if? But, it clearly would have changed the course of how we filled out the roster with respect to last year's team and where we went forward. So I hope I answered the question.
So when you saw Barnes in the playoffs doing what he did for Golden State, there wasn't a part of you that said, boy, not for the coin flip, everything might have been different?
Well, again, Steve, you look back at your team and you say, how would we have done things differently? Had we drafted a Damian Lillard or a Harrison Barnes, it would have put a different path in place. And so I don't know how that would have affected the ultimate outcome. But you look at guys play all the time. You know, I could have had him in a trade. I could have drafted him, or I could have done this. You can't always look back. You can't be a Monday morning quarterback in this business. You got to move forward and live with your decisions. Sometimes that means making new decisions to get out from under decisions. But at the end of the day, Harrison's turned out to be a nice player. I think you hit the nail on the head. He's a really good player, and he would have fit a need for us.
Thank you. The following question is from Josh Lewinberg of TSN Radio. Please go ahead.
Hey, Brian. Good afternoon. In terms of Dwayne Casey and the coaching staff, do you plan on being vocal in making a recommendation on their behalf when a new GM is appointed?
No. If I'm asked my opinion, I'll give you my opinion. That's going to be just a decision for the new guy to make.
Let's take time for one more question, please.
Thank you. The final question is from Zach Links of Hoop Swimmers. Please go ahead.
Hey, Brian. I know you said that you don't want to speak to any candidate in particular, but you mentioned Ed and his credentials. Do you think it's a positive for him, given the time that he spent in New Jersey, where he had a role with Rod Thorne, where they worked side by side, and then eventually he transitioned into the GM role? Does it speak well for him that he could do that now with the Raptors, having you to lean on for advice and to guide him along the way?
I don't know. I was asked to fill a role, to create, what we term better succession planning in the event that I got hit by a truck. And I didn't exactly get hit by a truck, but, I'm just moving to a different role. And, the new guy coming in is going to have final authority and final say on basketball matters. If you're asking me, is Ed capable? Absolutely. But that's not my determination to make.
Absolutely. But he'll have you to lean on as a very experienced executive, in the same way he had Rod.
Well, we've developed a really good relationship. He's a friendly guy, but he's also a very serious guy when it comes to, the basketball team. And, I even saw today, someone said that we were, differing in opinion on players. And, I think every relationship in this business, there's debate about players and you've got your own opinion. You should have your own opinion and you shouldn't be a yes man. And that's one of the things that intrigued me about Ed as this number two guy that came in. Again, is he capable of being a number one? Yeah, that's why I hired him. But we'll see how this plays out, and I'll help whoever is in that new job if they need my help.